God's word today, we will turn to Psalms chapter 100, verses 3 to 5. Psalms chapter 100, verses 3 to 5. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. And then we will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 to 15. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 to 15. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. God is the God of grace. God is the God of grace. God is the God of grace. From Him comes grace. And to those who know His grace, in other words, those who know that they have received His grace and know what this grace is, those who receive it with thanksgiving, He receives glory. Say amen if you know His grace. So knowing that you've received His grace and knowing what this grace is, we are living a life continuously thanking Him, and He is glorified through that. So our faith is to give thanks to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To people in the world, it's not some idea or concept of some divine being or some God that we are thanking, but rather our faith is giving thanks to our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our faith life is to be thankful of the grace that we have received. And as described in Psalms chapter 27, verse 13, as we live on this land, we believe that we will be shown the grace of God. So we believe, and there's also a future to this grace that we will have received and that we are receiving and will receive. So I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And it is also being thankful in all circumstances. Regardless of the circumstances, we are to be thankful. So we say, thank you, Jesus. So from our lips must be words of thanksgiving, and this is a life of faith that we ought to live. Today we will be speaking about grace and thanksgiving. The grace that God has shown us, the reaction to this grace is thanksgiving. And grace is freely given. Doesn't mean that it is costless, but it is so priceless that there is no price to it. And because we know the value of this grace, even though it is freely given, because it is so valuable, and more time passes, we know the value of this grace, the more valuable it becomes, we all the more thank Him. So the Bible talks about the grace of God. It records about the grace of God. First, God, this is the general grace that God has shown all of mankind, all creation. This is the general grace, the former grace, in other words. And this is the grace that He has shown to all, whether they believe or not, whether they welcome it or not, to all creation. He revealed this general grace, the former grace. And it is through nature that one can see the grace of God. And then there is something called the latter grace, also known as the special grace. And this is the one and only Son. And those who receive the special grace receive it by grace. So as those who believe in Jesus, we acknowledge the general former grace as well as the latter and special grace. And therefore, we have received the grace upon grace. So when we speak of grace, that we have received. In the Bible, it talks about, in the Bible, it mentions Noah found favor in God's eyes, that he received the grace of God, as well as Lot, who was warned of the Sodom and Gomorrah being burned down, because he found favor in God's eyes, or found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In other versions, they have been found favor and found grace in the eyes of God. And this is his very grace, that out of all creation, out of all those people in history, throughout all the ages, God, he called Noah, and he warned him of the great deluge. And because of this warning he received, he was able to build the ark and save himself and his family. Same goes for Abraham, who was called by God and was able to give birth to a son at an old age, and also received the blessing of many descendants. And also the same with Lot. These men were found in favor in the eyes of God. They were called to receive the grace of God, and they knew that this calling itself, it was the grace of God. And Joseph was also a man who received the grace of God. And by grace, he received. And he asked God for his mercy to save him. And he prayed. And from there came the people of Jacob. And through his struggle, he was able to, from him come the people of Israel. And this was the struggle with God, that he was able to have the people of Israel emerge. And also the people of Israel who were enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. They were oppressed. They were an oppressed people there. But overnight, they were able to be liberated, as they were sent a man named Moses. Not only that, they were led to the desert. And it mentions in Jeremiah chapter 30 that they were a chosen people of God and were led into the wilderness and receive the grace of God. And it was described as a path they were led to rest. They were freed from their slavery and led to a place where they could rest. And they were led to this desert. And when they round up here, it wasn't what they expected. And it was through this was given to them as a path for them to pass through so that they can reach a land of rest. And all of this was given to them by the grace of God. They experienced countless works and miracles and wonders of God. However, because of their physical circumstances in the desert, they started to grumble and resent against God. And the Bible records that 10 times they did so. And because they disappointed God, because they had no faith, because they were resentful, they were struck dead in the desert. And even though they were provided manna from heaven and water from the rocks, initially, yes, they were grateful, but every day it was the same. And all they could see was manna, manna, manna everywhere. And therefore, they started to complain against God. And for that, they were struck dead because they lost their thanksgiving. And so this was to show us a sample that we must live through and pass through the desert life in order to enter the place of eternal rest. And this was, and if they had known the final destination of eternal rest, they might have been able to overcome. But unfortunately, they did not. Also, they were instructed to build the temple, and Solomon, he did the work of building. the temple, and describes that Solomon was found in favor and grace of God, for his father David was found in God's favor and was blessed and was able to expand his territory. And this was all because he found favor in God's eyes. He received the grace of God. And also Solomon knew that his calling to become king and to build the temple was also the grace of God. And it was, in fact, since their forefathers, their ancestors, Abraham, who was promised the blessings of his many descendants, that all of this grace and favor was found throughout the lineages and throughout their history. And they considered Jehovah as their God of grace, and they were to give thanksgiving continuously, and this was the function of the temple, so that the people can be reminded of their history of receiving grace and favor. And then there was a man named Daniel, and he prayed towards the temple three times a day, praising the Lord Jehovah, praying to his Lord. He was found in favor in the eyes of the king, and he was very distinguished among the others. And so the king planned to set him over the kingdom for his exceptional qualities. However, there were the administrators who wanted to get rid of Daniel, and so they requested the king to declare a decree that anyone who prays to some other than the king, that that person shall be annihilated and punished. And this decree was sealed and put in writing, and it could not be altered. And anyone who goes against this decree, anyone who prays to any god or man during these 30 days that was put in writing would be punished. But regardless, although Daniel heard of this news, he still continued to pray three times a day to his Lord God Jehovah. And the king was informed of this, and he was put into the lion's den, but he was left untouched by the grace of God. Also, there was a man named Jonah who was to be sent to Nineveh to preach the word of God. But though he did not want to, he was swallowed up by a big fish, and he ended up in the stomach of the big fish, and for 3 days he was there. And in Hebrew, it's called Sheol or Hades. Sheol or Hades, which is in the grave, in the dark pit. He was there in the belly of the fish in Sheol for 3 days. And this must have been very difficult for him, for it was darkness, and probably the belly of the fish was working hard with acids from the stomach to digest his other food. It would have been very difficult for Jonah to survive there, but Jonah, he prayed to God who sent him. In Jonah chapter 2 verse 2, this prayer is mentioned, and what he said was, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. And so he thanked. He said, thank you. He thanked the Lord. He thanked the Lord despite his circumstances. And he offered up a song of thanksgiving. And so therefore, he was saved. For all that came out of his lips were words of thanksgiving, and the fish spat him out. So these men who had faith, they knew who God is, and they knew the grace, what the grace of God was, and because of that they were saved. But regardless of this history, the people of Israel, they lost their thanksgiving. They forgot about the grace of God, and rather they lived for themselves, and rather for their own satisfaction, they created idols and worshipped idol gods. And as a result of this, they were destroyed. They lost their nation, their peoples, and their sovereignty. Their peoples were scattered, and this became their destiny. And there was a time called the Dark Ages, also the Middle Ages, where there were no prophets, no word of God. Before 400 years before Jesus Christ appeared, during this dark time, they had no prophet to guide them. They could not hear the voice of God. And their forefathers were called by grace, and their peoples were able to survive because of the grace of God, but they started to wonder if they really were called by the grace of God, if their peoples were chosen as his people to receive his grace. And so therefore, they still held hope in the temple. And so therefore, the temple was very significant to them. And then John the Baptist appeared, proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is near, and to repent and to turn from their ways. And what he meant by repent was to turn to God, to turn to the Lord. And what this meant was that the people who took so much pride in being the descendants of Abraham, who was the father of blessing, relying on their father Abraham, but rather they were to have contrite and broken hearts and turn to God, for he is merciful, he is faithful. And the message was that if they repent and turn from their ways, God will have mercy on them, for he is the merciful God. And it was at this time that Jesus Christ appeared, and what did he say? He said to destroy this temple. He appeared before the temple, and what he said was to destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it back up again. So in the temple was the name of Jehovah. Who is Jehovah? He is the God of all flesh. The God of all flesh was emphasized because from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was through their bloodline, through their lineage, that they believed that they were a blessed people. And so they took pride in this and confessed that he, Jehovah, is the God of all flesh, their God. But Yeshua came telling them to destroy the temple, meaning that no longer would it be the regulations of the flesh as described in Hebrews chapter 9. No longer would it be the law that they keep to be regarded as righteous and be made righteous. This was all regulations regarding the flesh. And this was regarding the God of all flesh. For if they kept the law, that they would be blessed, but no longer would that be. This era had now come to an end. The law, the era of the law, the era where they emphasized the flesh, had come to an end. No longer would it be bloodline or lineage. No longer would it be about keeping the law, for this was only a limited grace, which was only through their bloodline, which was only through the law. This grace was only limited, but now this era had come to an end. And that is why Jesus Christ said to destroy the temple, and that is why the veil in the temple tore when Jesus Christ died, meaning that this era had come to an end, and this is what that signified. And also the Samaritan woman, She was a Gentile, but she proclaimed, she said that even the dogs eat the scraps from the master's table, the crumbs from the master's table. And this was to show how in the past, before Jesus came, that it was only a limited grace, and it was only for the people of Israel, only for the bloodline. But no longer would that be, but Jesus had come, Yeshua had come in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And with his name Yeshua, he had come, and no longer would it be the God of flesh, but he would be the God of all souls, of all peoples and all nations, the God of all souls, of all nations and peoples. And no longer would it be the regulations of the flesh, now it would be through them knowing the grace and truth. And anyone who knows the grace and truth can receive grace and truth. The Jews, the Israelites, they knew very well of the grace of God, for it was by his grace that their people were chosen and that they were able to survive the generations and survive to this day. But what they lacked was the truth. And John chapter 1:1, this is my favorite Bible verse. Verse 1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in eternity the Word was, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Who is God? He is the God of grace. From him comes grace. From him comes grace. And those who know his grace, those who know his grace, he reveals his glory. And the Word came in the flesh, meaning God came in the flesh. God, he came in the flesh. The God, the Word, came in the flesh. And the grace of God came in the flesh. The grace of God came, the God of grace came in the flesh. The temple contained the name of Jehovah, but this temple was to be destroyed. No longer would it be the name of Jehovah contained in the temple, but now it would be the name of Yeshua, the God of grace. So how can God come as man, and how can God be born like man and die like man? But this is the truth. Though people did not understand at the time, this is the truth, and that's why it's described here as the Word who became flesh, full of grace and truth. Though scientifically and in the eyes of man, this could not be understood at the time, this was the very truth, and that's why it's described here as full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Grace upon grace. Amen. So Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh. He was born as a baby, and he grew and grew and grew. As it says here, that more and more grace, blessing after one blessing after another, grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. And when he was baptized and came out of the water, the voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. And he was full of grace and truth. And what we will receive is the grace upon grace. Amen. So Jesus, he lived a life of showing his grace, and it was during his public ministry that he showed his grace through physical blessings, for he healed. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So this is proclaiming the era of grace, the year of the Lord's favor. For he freed those possessed by demons. He released the oppressed. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the sick. And this was the era of grace. And this was shown and revealed throughout his public ministry. And the people that he met during this time mostly were people who were poor, who were sick, who were disadvantaged, who were weak, who were possessed. And these are the people that he proclaimed the good news. He shared the gospel, and so that they can and did the work of them, so that they could experience the truth of being set free by the truth. And he was misunderstood by so many, and he was despised by the people. And so they wanted to get rid of him. And Jesus Christ, though he was physically and emotionally, he was oppressed by the people and by the times. Regardless, so we can make the, it was similar to Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish. That he, though he was in this oppressed and distressful environment and circumstance, he was able to overcome through prayer. And Jesus, he also, before Lazarus' womb, he said he thanked the Father for hearing him, for listening to his prayer, and that he believed that the Lord God is always listening, the Father is always listening to his prayer. And like Jonah was able to overcome the environment of being in the belly of the fish, it was through prayer. Like that, Yeshua, also through prayer and also through thanksgiving, he was to be freed. And Jesus, Yeshua, he was not resentful of the people who handed him over to death, but like a silent lamb, without any resentment, and without avoiding, he was led to his death on the cross. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." He was thankful of the grace that God Father had shown him, and also grateful for the grace that he would receive in the future. God, he came as man, as the Son of Man, and he was born as a Son of God, and this was what he was thankful for. Father, he was thankful for being able to share in his glory as the Son, as the one and only Son. For he was a one and only Son sent by the Father God, and he received this as grace. He was thankful for the grace that he received, and grace, and thankful for the grace that he would receive in the future. And therefore, he committed his spirit to the Father. And he knew that the Father would raise him back up to life and ascend to the throne in heaven. And as an heir, that he would sit on the throne and share in his glory. And therefore, that was why he was able to receive all his circumstances with thanksgiving. So the Sheol is the depths of the pit. It is the realm of the dead. It is the grave, and the Son of Man, he was thankful. It's described in Psalms chapter 27, verse 3. He was thankful that though he is in the universe, the dark pit Hades, he was regardless thankful. Though he is in the universe in Hades, he had the faith that he would now enter the land of the living, and so he was thankful of the grace that he would receive. Amen. And also in the process, He condemned the devil who was ungrateful. And with his death, he redeemed the price of sins of mankind. Whether they believe or not, even those men of faith in the Old Testament, this grace was given, his grace of redemption. When Jesus Christ, he died, this grace of redemption was given to all. And it was a one-time event. One time it was given, this one-time grace. It's not continuous, but it's a one-time event of giving grace. But the blood that he shed is continuous. So his death was one time, which was his work of redemption. But his blood, its effect is continuous. Those who believe his blood, by his grace, those by grace who receive the blood of Jesus, say amen if you've received his blood by grace. But you sinned, will he send you to hell? If you confess that you have his blood, then this continuous event of forgiveness can happen. And so this is the work that he completed, and he said it is finished, and he died, and the Father raised him up, and he is ascended to heaven and sits on the throne of grace as described in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 5. And from the throne of grace flows his grace. He doesn't sit there like he's on vacation, but continuously he works to pour out his grace through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of grace. He continuously pours out his grace. And that is why we are in this era of grace, where we can receive his grace. The Holy Spirit enters believers. Those who have received the blood of Jesus by grace, the Holy Spirit enters. Say amen if you've received his blood. What have you received? Was it by your righteous acts or righteous deeds, your good deeds? It was not by our own merits, but we've received his grace freely. And those who have received this grace, the Holy Spirit allows one to know what true grace is. One who has received that one drop of blood by grace, just like how a cell grows and divides, that one drop of blood becomes greater and greater. And that is why the Holy Spirit came to do this work in us. Say amen if you've received his blood. You must have received his blood. For without his blood, we cannot escape this universe, this dark pit. I know grace. I am one who knows his grace. You can say, I've received grace. And I ask you, did you really receive grace? You don't answer, you said I received grace. It's not that. But it's undeniable. And you are so certain that you have received grace. Say amen. Is that right? So nowadays, there are a lot of pastors who carry around name tags. I don't have a name tag, but I don't need a name tag that says Sungi Kang. If I did have a name tag, I would want it to say one who has received grace. So the one who is found favor in the eyes of God, one who has received the grace of God, is not by my own efforts or by my own merit, but I've been found favor in his eyes by his grace. And this very fact is grace in itself. It's not by my acts. It's not by my effort. It's not by what I did or how I lived, but I found favor in the eyes of God. Noah, he had no righteous acts, but Noah found favor in God's eyes, and by his grace he was called. It was not by his acts. Even Abraham, it was not by his acts or merits or deeds. And some make the interpretation that because Abraham, he broke an idol, that's why he found favor in God's eyes. But that's not it. Rather, it's not by one's righteousness or their own deeds. He did not do anything, but he was called by the grace of God alone. And this very calling to receive it as grace, we must be thankful that this calling is by His grace, to know that this calling is by the grace of God. A lot of us, we were evangelized on the streets in front of Hanmi or in K-Town. You were called, and at that moment, you didn't really know what this calling was about, and maybe they kept texting you to come, and you came, and then you heard the word, and you thought this was pretty interesting, and the church was, everyone was nice, but this is the very calling by His grace. You did no righteous acts of your own, no good deeds. We did not live a life trying to study the scriptures or the truth, but it was just one day when we were walking on the street that God called us. And you ended up in church and then heard the word and wanted to learn more and kept coming because we have been called by grace. By grace, we have been called and we are to rejoice. One who has no righteousness of his own, with no righteousness of his own, and a sinner called by grace to let know His grace, and this is the grace of God. So when you go, when you walk the streets and remember the time you were called and you were found in the eyes of God, recall how this is by the grace of God. In 2 Timothy verse 1:9, that it was not by our deeds, but it was by His grace that He called us. That by the grace of God, He redeemed all mankind, but by His holy calling, He called us. And all of this is grace. Amen. Say amen if you've received grace. Paul, he confessed that by grace he was called. And he put in every effort to repay back the grace. But even this was the grace of God. That he preached the gospel, he was persecuted, and he suffered so much. But all of that was being able to do that. And being able to persevere through that, he knew that this was by the grace of God. So one who has received grace receives everything as grace. In whatever situation, whether poverty, it's grace. Whether you are persecuted, it's grace. Whether you are put to death, it's grace. So therefore, nothing can stop you. But rather, everything you receive as His grace, as an opportunity to receive grace upon grace, and therefore all the more the grace overflows. And what we are thankful for is that He opens the ears of our soul by His grace, so that we can hear His word and understand His word. It's not just by someone's good character or character of being loyal. It's living this faith life is not about just about being loyal or having good character, but it is by grace. More importantly, it is by grace, for He opened our ears to hear His word, for He saw our hearts to hear His word, and that is why He opened the ears of our soul so that we can receive the word of God. So it's not by our own efforts or our own knowledge, but it's by His grace. So when we come to church, it's different when we hear the words in church during worship rather than at home. Isn't that right? It's different. And why is that? It's because this church is the land of the living in this universe. This universe is Hades. There's all darkness and death, but the church is the land of the living, where the living can come to receive this life. And this is the very church. Out in the world, you are wearied and tired in the flesh, but when you come to church, you come alive, because this church is the land of the living. We thank our Lord for establishing the Church of Jesus, the land of the living. And let us be strengthened and receive fully his life in this land of the living. So we are so thankful. Paul, the name of Yeshua, he gave as a method to experience God. That in the name of Jesus we pray and receive answer, thereby experiencing the living God. And speaking in tongues, we thank God that he gave us this gift of speaking in tongues by the grace of God. And that's why it is valuable, and that is why we should be thankful for it. Amen. And those who have received grace, we become indebted to his grace. A debtor to grace. And if we have a debt, we must pay it off. So those who are thankful, we want to express this thankfulness. And Paul said that though there is tribulation and troubles awaiting him, but he will continue to do the work of spreading the gospel. Say amen if you have received grace. How have you received grace? Did you go to the mountain and fasted for days and received this grace? No. By someone, through someone's invitation, you received this grace, this calling. So through this person, now you are indebted. You are indebted. And so therefore, you have to pay off this debt by doing the same work of sharing the gospel to others, the gospel of grace. Amen. That we do all that we can to share this gospel of grace. Even though I was going to a Presbyterian church for 10 years in the past, I didn't know anything about this. And at Yonglak Church in Korea, he was a good preacher, the pastor there. But for some reason, at church, I could not understand anything. I didn't know what he meant. It was even worse than me my comprehension of English. Or my comprehension of Chinese. But at the time in Korea, before I received grace, that's how much I could not understand the word. But then one day, I was able to understand, even though before that I read the Bible many times. But there was this one moment where I was able to understand what the word meant. And it was by his grace, by his grace. I was also able to experience the truth, and I am just so thankful for that, that I can now speak the words of truth like my own. Not say someone said this or it says this, but I have experienced the truth personally in my life. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I have experienced this grace, and I threw out my medication, and I was healed. And I was able to experience the words that were written in the Bible, and now I can speak it as my own. Not as someone else's, or not as something I've heard from someone else, but it is the truth that I have personally experienced. Hallelujah. And now I am indebted to this grace, and now I do this work of repaying back, paying back. As one who has met the source of living water, now I do this work of carrying out this living water, this water of life to souls. And this is what is expected of one who is indebted. And I also thank him for giving position, for me a position. This grace, this position that is given to me by grace. Position of a deacon, position of a regional group leader, of choir, of teacher, is by grace he's given to us. And this position he's given to us by grace is not because we are exceptional, but is so that we can receive his grace, to become one who has received his grace, so that when we are those who received his grace, now we share this grace with others. So we have nothing to boast about, but it is all by thanksgiving. For by his grace, he's given us this position, and therefore we pray for this position. We thank you for allowing us to praise, for we are now flowing abundant with your grace. Amen. And those who have received this grace now, or the grace that they will receive, that when we die, we commit our spirit to the Father. Who will want to receive garbage? So no one wants to receive waste or garbage. But worse than that, more rotten than that is our souls. Who will receive that? But when we die, we ask the Father to receive our spirits. For we have the blood of Jesus. We have nothing to boast about. Everything about us is rotten, but please see the blood that is in us, the blood of Jesus in us, and please accept us, and it is by His grace that He will receive. Amen. When the Lord returns, in the air, perhaps, the Lord will call our names to be lifted up. Those who are found on the land, if He calls our names, He says, come. Just like more grace upon grace, He will call our names to be lifted up into the air. We yearn for the grace upon grace. And then we will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. There will be like a plant card. You know, when there's a big event, there's a sign saying, welcome to this event. What do you think it will say on that day? What do you think it will say? Welcome to the land of the living. By His grace. By grace. Welcome to the land of the living. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 103, it mentions that with thanksgiving we enter the kingdom of heaven. Welcome to the land of the living. There's a invitation. Welcome to the land of the living. It's just so amazing that we've been invited to such amazing place. I have never experienced death, but there were two moments in my life where I was near death. One was when in front of my house I rolled down the stairs, and as I was rolled down, I hit my face hit the guardrail, and then that moment I felt everything just come to a stop. I lost consciousness. And also my car accident last year, my car flipped over, and there was a moment where I felt everything stop for a short moment. And I think that's how it will be like when we die, that there will be this moment that everything will come to a pause, a halt. And then when you realize, you regain consciousness, then what if you are still in the world? What if you are still here? Then that means you are an unclean spirit, a demon. But rather, when you regain consciousness, when you see the invitation, welcome to the land of the living. This is what we long for. So that on that day, that all of us can be those who enter the land of the living by His grace. By His grace alone. And so we are to be thankful that for the rest of our lives, we are to know His grace. We know the value of His grace, and we testify about His grace and know its value and its importance. And so I continue to do this work of sharing this grace with others, so that on the day that He returns, that He will call my name, and that I will enter the land of the living and thank Him forever and ever for calling me, for inviting me here to the land of the living. And let us all receive this great blessing. Hallelujah. Let us pray.